Scripture reading tonight is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. I read this week that a church in St. Louis, in America, which would be central east of the United States of America, a church in St. Louis has fitted scanners on the door of their church to try and discourage people bringing guns and weapons with them to church. Now, I want to assure you, we have no scanners on the door. We have no plans to put any scanners on the door. We trust you, okay? St. Louis must be a fairly violent place. But there is, in a sense, a far deeper penetrating scan that we do have in Bali Baptist. There is a scan that is more powerful than any ultraviolet light or X-ray that St. Louis have developed. And we have it tonight. And that is the searching, penetrating eye of the living God. And God, by His Spirit, comes into meetings like this. And He looks past the fancy designer clothes. And He looks past the skin and the bodily frame. And He focuses His attention on the mind and the heart. So in this meeting tonight, while we don't have a scanner at the door, rest assured you have been scanned. The penetrating eye of God has searched your heart. And after searching and scanning you, the Lord has given me a message for you. And the message comes in two parts, and the two parts come in one verse. This is God's message to you after scanning you. Here it comes. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Two parts. He that believeth, that is, he that is trusting in the Son, hath everlasting life. Part two, he that believeth not, that is, does not believe in the Son of God, then he shall not see life, but is under the wrath of God. I wonder what part of that verse applies to you. There's no middle part. There's no grey area. There's no sort of in one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. You're either in part A or part B. And if I was to ask for a show of hands, who's in part A, who's in part B, where would you put your hand up? Part A, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Part B, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Either you are trusting or you are not trusting. And this would be an amazing service tonight and a wonderful experience for you if you realize that you are in part B, and you transferred, even as I'm speaking, you transferred to be part A. That is possible tonight in our meeting. That you move from not believing to believing. Moving from not having eternal life to having eternal life. Moving from having the wrath of God abiding on you to not having the wrath of God abiding on you. Why, this is going to be some meeting, isn't it? Notice a few things in our verse. Notice, first of all, the person that you must trust. You see, it says, he that believeth on the Son, and he that believeth not on the Son. The whole thing balances, the whole thing is focused on the Son. It's what you do with him that is the crux of the matter. And either you believe in him or you don't believe in him. You see, it's not so much trusting the person beside. Now, I know the person beside you is a lovely person. I'm sure they are. But the best of people can let you down. It's not even trusting the person in the pulpit. I trust that he's trustworthy. But he can let you down. It's not trusting in a church of a particular creed or color or denomination. It's got nothing to do with that. It's all to do with what you do with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The person you must trust is the Son. The eternal Son of God, the only Savior of men and women, God's penetrating eye searches the heart, searches the mind to see what you've done with him. Now, there's lots of different people here tonight. There are some who are trusting in the Lord Jesus. There are some who make no bones about it. If I was to ask them, they would say, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a believer. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. But there's a third group. There's a group who look the part. There's a group who tick all the boxes. There's a group that look so plausible. And yet deep in their heart, as God looks, he says, I don't know you. Now, they're the hard people to reach. You see, the Christians have been reached. Those that are not Christians, the Spirit of God will need to deal with them. I understand that. But they're reachable. They know their need. But that group in the middle, that play the game, they go to church, they know the truth, they know what's right, they know what's wrong, and they know the right things to say. And yet they've never really trusted completely in Jesus. Are you trusting? I remember camping in North Wales I'm going back nearly 50 years ago. I was with the Every Boys Rally, which is a brethren version of the BB sort of thing. And we were in North Wales, and we had an afternoon off, so some of the boys and I thought we would take the bus into the local town, which was, if I remember correctly, Pathwelly. You need good teeth to say it, Pathwelly. And we spent our day, the afternoon in Pathwelly. We were tired, and we were looking forward to getting home for tea. And so the bus arrived, we climbed on the bus, and we didn't know the landscape, we didn't know. But 35 minutes later, we ended up back in the centre of Pathwelly again. We were on our own bus. It was a circular route. It took us round. It was one of like those sightseeing buses, you know, the tourist buses. We were getting a view of all the time, and we ended up back where we started again. And there's some people in this church tonight. And you're on the wrong bus. Maybe you're on the bus of sincerity. Maybe you're in the bus of church attendance. Maybe you're in the bus of good neighborliness. And it's all the wrong bus. And you're heading for the wrong direction. There's a person that you must trust. You must trust in the Son. You must lean on him alone. You must depend on him completely. He is the one who came from glory. He is the one who came to earth. He's the one who died for you in Calvary's Hill. He's the one who rose again the third day. According to the scriptures, he has now ascended at the Father's right hand. And as you look at him, you say, he is the only Savior of men. I need to trust him. He's the person you must trust. Because he alone is the cure for the disease of sin. He alone is the mediator to renew communion with your Creator. He alone is the key to open the door of heaven for you. He alone is the sacrifice that enables God to forgive you, yet remain holy. There is a person that you must trust. Secondly, there is a principle that you must exercise. You see, it says, he that believeth on the Son. He that believeth not on the Son. The principle that you must exercise is he that believeth. You need to believe. And to believe in Bible terms is not an intellectual approval. It's to grasp God with the heart. It's to rest 100% on the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross. Faith wraps itself in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, when you get to the end of your life, you'll not be condemned for not attending Bali Baptist. Nor will you be condemned for not liking my preaching. In fact, that could be a sign of intelligence. You will not be condemned for not liking Christians because sometimes I don't really like them myself. No. You will be condemned because you didn't believe in Jesus Christ. That's the crux of the matter. So there is a person that you must trust. And there is a principle that you must exercise. And God calls on you tonight to turn away from sin and to stake all your hope for life and eternity on the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross. It will revolutionize your life. You imagine if I had an empty bottle of Coke or something. And I filled half up with water and then the rest of the half up with oil. Put the top on, and I shake it. That mixes. You know what happens? As soon as I set it down, the water and the oil start to separate again. And the oil sinks to the bottom, the water comes to the top. Why? Because water and oil don't mix. They don't mix. And dear friend, in our meeting, I want you to know that godliness and worldliness don't mix. Don't mix. Whenever God saves you, He changes your heart. He changes your desires. The old world loses its attractiveness, loses its appeal. And you seek after the things of God. It's amazing transformation. The two things don't mix. Can I say this to you? If you know a person who says they're a Christian and they have no love for godliness and they keep running after worldliness, they're not a Christian in any biblical sense. No. The two don't mix. We have a new heart, a new mind, a new thinking, a new Savior, a new Lord, a new control, a new value system. The person you must trust, the Son. The principle you must exercise, belief. Thirdly, the promise you can prove. Listen to it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There is a promise that you can prove. There's no doubt about it. There's no, maybe you'll get saved. Maybe you might. No. He that believeth on the Son, when you stake your hope for eternity on the finished work of the cross, completed by Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. This is a promise from God. And if he doesn't keep his promise, he stops being God. And that can't happen. So he will keep his word. And so on the authority of God's word, I promise you that if you come into the A part of this verse and believeth on the Son, that you will have everlasting life. Now, he doesn't promise an easy journey. What he promises is a safe arrival. What he promises is not no valleys, but he promises a way through the valley. And he will walk with you through the valleys. What he promises is not wealth, but he promises you all that ever you will need. Listen to this cast iron guaranteed promise. He that believeth, that's the principle, on the Son, that's the person, hath, that is the promise, hath everlasting life. That promise is better than cash in the bank. For God never promises more than he's able to achieve. You know, it is an amazing thing that the way people talk today, everybody's going to heaven. You go to a funeral and it seems as if everybody that dies is bound for glory. It doesn't say that in the Bible. In fact, the opposite. It says that the path to heaven is exclusive. It's narrow. It's specific. It is only for those who repent and believe in the Son. And they're able to claim the promise. They have everlasting life. The person you must trust, the Son. The principle you must exercise, believe. The promise you can prove, have. The position that you can enjoy, everlasting life. One day I will leave planet Earth. I will not miss the sunshine, for I will see the Son of Glory. I will not miss Ballymena, the city of seven towers, for I will live in the city of God, which is New Jerusalem. I will not miss my diary and all the appointments and all the demands, because time will be no more. No night. No tears. No separation. No death, no sin. And I will be united with my Lord forever, all because of his love and all because of the death of his Son for me at Calvary. Trevor Francis, not the footballer, but a brethren preacher many years ago, way back in 1902, I think, he wrote, I am waiting for the dawning of that bright and blessed day when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away, when forever with my Saviour, far beyond this veil of tears, I shall swell the song of worship through the everlasting years. A position that you can enjoy. And when I'm there, I'll look over that vast crowd of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And will I see you there? Will you be there? If you finish your life the way you are tonight, will I see you in glory? Let me deal with the second part of the verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The person you must trust, the principle you must exercise, the promise you can prove, the position you can enjoy. But that's not the end of the verse. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Dear friend tonight, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, you are under the wrath and the judgment of a holy God. A story appeared some years ago in an American newspaper. A group of teenagers broke into a department store and they amused themselves while there by switching all the price tags of the items around. They probably thought they were having a laugh. And of course, whenever the doors opened the next day, the shoppers were amazed to find cheap little trinkets at exorbitant prices and some expensive, extremely rare items at low prices. There's some in this service like those boys. They've changed the values round. And you think that wealth is so valuable, and yet it's fleeting. And it doesn't last. And we'll have to leave it all behind. And you think that enjoyment is very valuable, but it's fleeting and it's temporary. You think possessions are the thing to have and the latest of this, and it's fleeting and it's temporary. But on Jesus Christ, you've put no value at all. And yet he's the very door to heaven. And if you trust him, heaven is yours. If you believe not, the wrath of God abides on you. Who changed the value system? I'll tell you, the devil changed it. And he's got it all mixed up. And the only thing that really counts, the only thing that really matters, is that you're trusting Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters. Everything else is secondary. What we need is salvation. The only supplier is Jesus. Everyone else, everything else is secondary to him. And so I say to you, where do you fit in the verse? Let me read it to you again. You're either in A or B. A, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's me. Praise his name. B, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. Dear friend, I wouldn't change places with you for all that this world has. I say with the hymn writer, take the world, but give me Jesus. Do you want to move? If you want to move, you can. Here's what you do. In your heart, you say, I'm a sinner. But God loved me. Christ died for me. He took my punishment. And so I'm going to trust him. With all my life. With all my heart. With all my soul. From this moment, he is my Lord. From this moment, he's my Savior. From this moment, I'm going to live for him. And he opens the door to heaven. May God help you to come tonight.